This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello and welcome to L&G Talks Asset Management. My name's Harry Brooks. I'm a content manager here at L&G. And today we're diving into a deceptively simple question. Are growth strategies anti-value? It's a topic that's been debated for decades, and our guest today brings a fresh perspective as well as plenty of quantitative rigor. Joining us today is Aya Haboob, an index researcher in our Index Solutions team, who has recently written an article that challenges the conventional thinking on growth and value investing. Aya, welcome to the podcast. Before we get into the meat of your research, can you tell us a bit about yourself, your background, and what drew you to this topic?
Yes, thank you, Harry. So I've been part of the Index Solutions team here at L&G for nearly 3 years, working on research and development for a diverse range of investment strategies across equity and fixed income indices. Recently, we launched a suite of style factor indices, including a value factor strategy. While working on the value factor, I started exploring growth strategies in order to complement the suite of indices.
So what prompted you to explore whether growth strategies are inherently anti-value? Was there a particular market trend or investor behavior that sparked the research?
Yeah, so while I was researching growth style investing, I frequently came across growth framed as the anti-value. For example, when looking at the existing market landscape for growth, index providers tend to treat value and growth as opposites by bucketing the two at opposite ends of the spectrum. Interestingly as well, I found the academic literature to often define growth stocks in conjunction with high price multiples, implying that these stocks are opposites to value.
Got it. Well, having read your article, of course, I know that the answer isn't as black and white as the literature might suggest. Can you walk us through some of your headline findings and what should investors take away from your research at a simple level?
Yes, I'd like to tackle this from two perspectives. First, through a micro lens, growth and value aren't mutually exclusive, which means not all growth companies are overvalued, or said differently, not all growth is anti-value. Second, through a macro perspective, performance between growth and value may differ across different stages of the market cycle. Following these findings, the conclusion is that with a pure investment style approach, where growth is defined agnostic to value, investors can potentially capture performance unique to each strategy, as well as benefit from potential diversification by combining the two together.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit. You emphasize that how we define growth is really crucial here. Can you explain your definition of growth investing and how it might differ from other people's conceptualizations?
Yes. So to be able to answer the question, is growth anti-value, we first need to know what growth is. I define growth companies as companies expected to exhibit persistence of their growth and fundamentals for future capital appreciation.
Okay. And you can probably guess the next question based on that, which is, how does that contrast with value investing in your framework?
The L&G value framework is based on companies that are quote unquote cheap against their fundamental metrics. This framework is based on companies' market valuations versus their intrinsic value. The way the growth framework compares to value here is that growth stocks are assessed irrespective of their valuations.
Okay. One of the insights in your research was around sector allocations. I'm interested in how you worked out historical sector allocations of the two different investment styles and what you discovered in terms of sector exposure.
So in terms of the historical sector compositions, we see that changing over time for both strategies. Technology sector, as an example here, was the majority of the time overweight in the value portfolio compared to the growth portfolio between early 2000s to late 2012. We see that shift from 2012 onwards. On the other hand, exposures to cyclical sectors tended to be more varied. We conclude here that the evolution of the sector allocations within growth and value strategies is likely influenced either by market cycles or long-term structural trends within industries.
That makes sense. So you also mentioned that there's an overlap between growth and value portfolios. What does that tell us about how these strategies might interact with one another?
The overlap is quite revealing here. It indicates to us that these styles aren't opposites, that there exists a pool of stocks that are both undervalued and growing, and it implies that some growth is expensive and some growth isn't.
Okay, let's talk valuations. You argue in your piece that growth stocks aren't always expensive and expensive stocks aren't always growth. Can you give us an example, perhaps, that illustrates this?
Yes, I'm going to focus on the US tech sector here as an example. We generally see the sector is underweight in the value portfolio in recent periods. When we take a closer look at the individual securities within the sector over the same time period, we see examples of undervalued stocks that rank high on both growth and value. So there is evidence of growthy and cheap stocks here. Similarly, expensive stocks aren't necessarily growth stocks. Certain investor biases may lead to the overvaluation of stocks as investors tend to over-extrapolate the historical growth too far into the future. For example, some stocks that soared during the COVID-19 pandemic experienced slower growth in the years that followed.
And what about fundamentals? How do they help distinguish true growth from what you call anti-value?
We looked at the top growth portfolio and we compared it to the anti-value portfolio. The top growth showed stronger fundamentals and modest valuations versus the anti-value portfolio, which had weaker fundamentals and higher valuations. So the fundamental analysis here helped us understand what we're paying for. That being said, I want to mention that we are not defining growth as only the undervalued stocks. Expensive growth may as well exist. The purpose of our approach here is to capture growth across what may be determined as either low or high value.
Your research also covers the impact of interest rates and inflation on growth and value strategies. I think that's really interesting. How have these historically influenced the performance of growth and value strategies?
In low short-term interest rate regimes, as an example of a risk-on environment, global growth stocks have historically tended to outperform their value counterparts. On the other hand, under high inflationary regimes, we've seen that global value has historically tended to outperform global growth.
So circling back to our original question, is growth anti-value? Your answer, I think it's fair to summarize, is it depends. For investors who don't have your quantitative background, who are trying to navigate the complexities here, what would be your suggestions?
I would suggest adopting a pure investment style that is agnostic to other factors when designing the growth strategy. Because by doing so, investors could widen their opportunity set of investable growth stocks, creating more robust growth strategies and potentially benefiting from portfolio diversification with a multi-factor approach.
Well, Aya, thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to read Aya's research, head to blog.lng, where you'll find a wealth of investment insight on a wide range of topics. That's it for today's episode of LNG Talks Asset Management. If you enjoyed this conversation, please don't forget to subscribe and share.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of L&G's Asset Management Division, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and we're not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general market, economic, or political issues, or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against L&G in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this podcast contains third-party information, the accuracy or completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information. Not for distribution to any person in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulations. Copyright 2025. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Unless otherwise stated, references herein to L&G, we and us
are meant to capture the global conglomerate that includes, in the European Economic Area, LGIM Managers Europe Limited, authorised and regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland as a UCITS management company pursuant to European Communities Undertaking for Collective Investment in Transferable Securities Regulations 2011 as amended, and as an alternative investment fund manager pursuant to the European Union Alternative Investment Fund Managers Regulations 2013 as amended. In the USA, Legal and General Investment Management America, Inc., a US SEC regulated investment advisor. In Japan, Legal and General Investment Management Japan, KK, a Japan FSA registered investment management company. In Hong Kong, issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, which is licensed by the Securities and Futures Commission. And in Singapore, issued by LGIM Singapore Pte Limited, company registration number 20223187 6W, which is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on LinkedIn or on our website.